Blog Talk Radio.
Yo. It's the Daily Shot Media, 3 o'clock on the East Coast, and we are live. Daily Shot Talks coming at you. Barry Gadboys here, the birthplace of basketball. Cameron Robbins hanging out on the Tony North Shore of Boston. Cameron, how are you?
Fabulous. Living the COVID life.
Yeah, what are you drinking? What do you got on tap today?
I don't really want to talk about it because I have dietary restrictions. So, I am drinking a pale ale, but it's gluten-free, so it tastes like crap.
There you go. Out in the capital region of New York, America's filing cabinet, my brother from the same mother, Dan Gadboys, checking in. What's on tap, buddy?
Well, delicious raspberry twisted tea over here. The lunch of champions.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a man's drink right there. That is a man's drink.
Now that we've set the table for what goes on this program, I just want to let you know that you can communicate with us by telephone. 516-387-1866 is the telephone number, 516-387-1866. You can always find us at Daily Shot Talks on Twitter, and you can always find the show and the archives for past horrible episodes at the Blog Talk Radio website. Just search Daily Shot Media on blogtalkradio.com. I've upgraded my studio, so I know I don't sound as bad this week, right?
I sound better. Was bad last week. Oof, man.
Wasn't good. Dan, I think, downgraded the studio.
Yeah. What happened? You guys swap?
I've not done anything. I've literally, same spot, same Wi-Fi, same everything.
It sounds like you are definitely on the moon. Are you inside Jupiter's? What are you in the rings of Saturn? What is going on?
This is it.
If you were picking for an NFL team on the draft, you wouldn't be able to do it. Nobody would understand who you were picking. That's good.
Hello?
Oh my!
Did he doubt
it? What happened?
You have COVID?
Yeah, no COVID. No COVID here.
He's got twisted tea.
Oh, that's the natural vaccine is the twisted tea.
I think Trump's going to be promoting that tonight at the coronavirus task force update. Inject the twisted tea right into your veins, and you'll be fine.
I would recommend the raspberry twisted tea is really good. So maybe a raspberry tea, maybe for their next spray bottle.
Maybe you should call back in.
This is so bad. Now, we're actually, just so everybody knows, we do this program on Blog Talk Radio, which is a streaming radio platform. So it's audio only. It's like live radio. You can take it with you on the mobile. You get it on the computer. If you don't listen to the show live, it's archived for later listening. But
you
we
can drop
are
us
recording.
In the toilet.
You can, right? Splash. You can drop it right there. But we're recording video. So we're going to take this and probably put it on like YouTube or somewhere. We're experimenting with video because we don't want to just sound bad. We also want you to see how bad we look. So eventually we're going to roll out some video.
Some of us had to cut our own hair.
Well, you did, right?
I did cut my own hair. Yeah, that was fabulous.
Dan, what's your haircut situation over there?
I got to say, beard looks nice. Beard looks real nice.
My wife did it for me, actually.
Your wife cut your beard?
No, my hair.
Oh, okay.
The beard I take care of.
My hair looks like a vagrant who slept in the subway. That's why I'm wearing a hat. Nod to the Gun Owners Action League of Massachusetts at Goal Update on Twitter if you want to join up with them. How are you doing, boys?
Give some feedback on this. Is this improved?
The feedback is not good.
Okay.
Are you eating gravel right now? Do you have gravel in your mouth? What is going on?
Twisted tea is basically the same thing.
I was going to say.
So, Cam, let's how
you
dealing
you and
with
I just talk?
Coming to the end of the week, how are you dealing with quarantine life?
Oh, today was – well, this week was the first week where I was like, all right, I'm done with this. This is enough, you know. It's hard without, you know, I got two kids under two, so, you know, childcare is basically, you know, okay, it doesn't exist. And I still have to work at home. And so it's a little much. I'm getting a little upset. I kind of want to go outside. I kind of want to go to a restaurant. I kind of want to drink at a bar. I kind of want to, you know, go to the movies. I want to do something. And this is the first time, I don't know, how long has it been? 6 weeks? 7 weeks? 8 weeks?
7 weeks, yeah.
Forever. That I've definitely, because you have friends come over every once in a while, you know, once or twice a week, friends come over, sit around the fire, and, you know. But you can't do that anymore, and it's to the point where I'm a little pissed off.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think one of the things that, as you touched on it, you know, kids who, particularly younger kids, who don't understand what's going on here and are at virtually no risk of getting, a bad outcome from catching COVID are just, this just sucks for them. I mean, it's just miserable. They don't understand it. So the governor of Massachusetts did an update today, basically said May 4th, may or may not extend it. We don't know. The state's basically closed until Charlie feels like doing his job. Well, I'll tell you this. I mean, from my perspective in my house, May 4th, I'm going back out into the world, and I don't care. I'm done.
I'm here on June 29th.
It's not happening. I'm telling you right now, it's not happening. And if these people think, look, when it's been a crappy spring, it's been in the 40s and it's been raining every day in the Northeast. Once the weather gets nice and Memorial Day is coming, do they really think that they're going to keep people locked up?
No.
Where are you going to go? There's no place open. What are you going to do?
Is that a dragon? Who was that?
I think it's Voldemort. What am I? I'm going to go to the park. I'm going to let my kid go play in the park. I'm going to go do whatever I want to do. And I'll tell you this. I'm not wearing a mask.
You have to wear a mask.
Why? Who says I have to wear a mask?
Well, if you want to go into any restaurant in PBD or the Salem and the surrounding areas of the North Shore, you can't go in buildings without wearing a mask. My local liquor store says no mask, no entry. So I guess you're not getting your booze from my liquor store, but I don't know what you're doing.
I'll go someplace else. No, I'm not doing it. Ain't happening. This is America, and I am not covering this face, okay?
All right, so what worst case scenario, martial law gets instituted and we all have to go shop at Marshall's. But, I mean, if martial law gets instituted, then you're screwed. You're screwed. What are you going to do?
If martial law gets instituted?
Yeah, you're going to stay in your house. The National Guard's going to be outside your house with an M16 and says you can't leave.
We're going extreme. I said this before. I hope at some point, like the mom, did you see the video of a mom in Idaho that the police arrested for letting her kids play on a playset? I hope I get arrested at some point. Because this whole situation has gotten totally out of control. Let's go to court.
Let's go to court. I just keep seeing Dan trying to fuss and make his connection a little better.
if you're watching this later, if you're watching the whatever, what do you call it? Podcast that's video. Is it still a podcast?
Podcast.
If you're watching this vodcast and soda later, you can see Dan just constantly fidgeting. I have no idea what's going on over in the Capital Region studio.
Better? Is the audio improving?
We can understand what you're saying.
That's good. Good. All right. Progress.
What do you have to say?
I got nothing.
Dan, what do you think? What's the temperature of people? Because you're in upstate New York. You're not in New York City or the counties that are the real hard-hit areas of the country. What's the temperature up there? I saw some protests in Albany the other day. People are starting to get a little antsy. What do you think's going on?
I think there's a, you know, as there is everywhere, there's a political divide with this. And I think upstate New York tends to be a little bluer, so there's a little bit more willingness to sit at home and collect the check. But there's also, you know, it gets fascist up here, and there's a lot of, you know, red-blooded conservatives who want to get back to work and want to get back to life. So it's a mixed bag, and I think that's the case everywhere. But, you know, the numbers here are low. They can say what they want about New York State, but, you know, we're looking at a 10% positive test rate, you know, and of that, about a 3% mortality. But I think they're just testing people who are in the hospitals right now. So people are getting tired of it, man. You know, this is a shelf life.
Dan, are you leaving the house at all?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
You don't give a crap. Are you wearing a mask? Are you wearing gloves?
Yeah, no. I have a mask with me that I wear when I have to, essentially. But I've been going to Lowe's like every other day. The wife keeps me busy on house projects, so I'm at the Lowe's like 3 times a week.
Now, are they getting a little hostile over there at the Lowe's in terms of the requirements or no?
Yeah, no. So it's like the Third Reich over there. It is very.
Oh my goodness.
They've got it taped off 6 feet. There's no BS over there. But I want to get my wood, so you know, gotta do what you gotta do.
I tried to go to Home Depot, and the line was around the corner. They were staggering people in, and I needed to go get some mouse traps because you know, I guess even the mice are quarantining themselves in my house, and so I couldn't. I didn't have 3 hours to wait in line to get into Home Depot.
Lowe's is not.
That was this week.
So go Lowe's. That's the answer.
Go to Lowe's. Well,
I like Lowe's better personally. Unless Home Depot wants to sponsor this show, in which case I would like Home Depot. But otherwise, I like Lowe's better.
Yeah, personally, it wasn't Home Depot was closer, so I apologize. You know, I wanted to go get a roast beef sandwich too. So.
Wow, roast beef sandwich. Deli made the champions right there.
I'm a turkey guy myself.
Yeah,
I want to go out.
You
gotta
sanitize it first.
Mm-hmm. You just microwave it. Everything's fine if you just microwave it.
600 watts, 3 minutes.
11 past the hour, 11 past 3 o'clock here. Telephone number if you want to join the program, 516-387-1866 or at Daily Shot Talks is where you can hit us up on Twitter. I want to go out to the old Daily Shot hotline and see if we can bring in a very special guest here who is coming from far away. Spain. Hello, are you on
Barcelona,
the line?
Barcelona. Let's be specific. Barcelona.
Yes. Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, you sound great.
Hey,
you sound amazing.
You're coming from Barcelona? Jeez.
Take
notes.
Hi, guys. Coming from Barcelona.
Hi.
So this is the official hotline to reach Catherine Robbins, who is in Barcelona.
Yeah.
Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Barry. Nice talking to you. I haven't heard from you in a while.
You're fancy across the pond doing all the fancy things that you Europeans do. So, I understand.
Yeah, it's quite cultured over here. But, the experience, I feel, has been quite shocking to us over here in Spain. It's been quite awful, to be honest.
Really? So now how long have you been in lockdown?
So our official date was March 14th was the date that we were told that we can't go out. So we actually went out that day thinking, okay, it's going to start Monday, like the weekend would be fine. And we got stopped immediately by the police here who are absolutely terrifying and told us to go home or we'd be thrown in jail. So then Monday comes along and we were like, okay, we actually have to go to the grocery store. Like, let's go to the store across the street, literally across the street. We stepped outside our front door and went to cross in the crosswalk and two police officers stopped us and basically like cornered us against the wall and asked for, you know, our social security numbers, where we live. And we're like, we live right here. This is our front door. And they're like, just basically screaming at us. And basically was like, if you don't go inside, you know, we will either fine you or arrest you. And B was like, fine. You know, my boyfriend was like, fine, arrest me. Like, I'm in front of my house. What do you want? And I guess
that's the spirit.
Yeah. Oh, it's actually terrifying.
Absolutely.
She's actually calling from prison.
She's calling from prison.
Yeah. So,
I hope you didn't use your one phone call on this.
No, I have. But you can't go out more than one person outside. So, you know, two at a time can't go. It has to be one person from the household. And now they've enforced that you have to have a police certificate. Apply for it online before you leave the house. And you have to put in, you know, all your information, your social security number, and they, you know, obviously where you live, where you're going. And they give you like a certificate of approval. And then you have to have that on your phone. And you have to have a time stamp receipt of where you've gone and purchased something within like the 30 minutes of being outside or however long it obviously takes you to go to the grocery store. And if you get stopped and you don't have those, then you get a 3,000 euro fine. Or you resist, you get 3,000 euros.
So if you are not out at the time that the government has assigned you to be out, you get a 3,000 euro fine.
Sounds like a sort of
right
there.
Did they put tattoos on your arms yet? Do you have a forearm number or anything?
Well, they say it's anywhere between 600 and 6,000, but I've heard it's on average 3,000.
Wow. And so how are people, like the general public in Barcelona, how are people taking this? Is this acceptable, or are people getting a little hot, or what's the temperature?
Yeah, they're calling it, you know, draconian law. So, you know, it's like very harsh, and people here in Spain, they're still used to socializing and being outside and, you know, having their sangria on patios and out in the sun. Nobody has, you know, TV here, cable, you know, everyone has their balconies and their outside time. And it's been very, like, you can actually, like, feel the anxiety in the air. Like, it's very palpable. And, you know, we live in a big apartment complex and we don't have a balcony. So we literally have a few hours of sunshine from our back windows, and that's it. And, you know, everybody in kind of our complex and everybody's facing the courtyard has the same situation. So it's definitely painful, to say the least. Nobody's happy.
So now what are they telling you in terms of what does the end of this look like? Are they giving you any sign of where the light is in the tunnel right now?
Not really. You know, I've been trying to read up as much as possible, but it's kind of in the air. The problem with Spain is that it's so divided, and especially where we live. You know, the Catalans have their own, you know, our space here is governed differently than, you know, Madrid. They give us a little bit more independence on this side, and, you know, they got the far left and the far right. So it's very divided in terms of, you know, what should be the next step. But, you know, final say from Madrid. So right now it's extended until May 9th, and it, you know, word is it's going to be extended at least until June. You know, beyond that, slow integration with slow, you know, stores and, you know, clothing stores, stuff like that opening, and restaurants probably being last. But it doesn't really look like there's an end in sight. So,
Catherine, did you move to Spain? Are you there permanently?
For now, yeah, we don't really have a plan. But my boyfriend, he's European, he's Italian, so, you know, we can move anywhere in Europe, and they gave me residency here. So as of right now, you know, we're full-time residents, and don't really have any plans to move anywhere else at the time, unless, you know, something else comes along. So.
Has this changed your opinion of wanting to do that? Like, do you feel like the way this has been handled, you want to go somewhere else, or do you feel safe and happy and comfortable?
That's a really good question. I've been kind of thinking about this. Like, would I rather be home in the States, you know, with my family, or, you know, somewhere else? And to be honest, America sounds actually terrifying right now, like more terrifying. I kind of like that there is such strict laws and rules here, because it, you know, you know what to do. Like, I can't go inside. I have to stay inside. So I have some more order kind of in my life, not necessarily like being inside. I don't know what to do with myself, obviously, but I know I can't go outside. I know I can't do certain things. I feel like in the state and some other places, it's so like, well, you can go outside and kind of, you know, just keep your distance and see what happens. I feel here a little bit more secure and safe, knowing, you know, first of all, healthcare is free. So if I, you know, do get sick, then I don't have to worry about paying for it. And, you know, do such a good job of tracking things and testing and blah, blah, blah. I feel like I would be worse off, you know, and a little bit more confused and unsure of things, you know, being back in the States at least. So I feel
like everything very hips.
Yeah, I feel actually like a lot better being here.
No, this is good. This confirms everything that I've suspected, which is that I don't want anything to do with Europe. So that's good.
No, I mean, there's no guns here, Barry. So, you know, I don't think you'd be happy, but
that's
good food.
I'm wearing my Gun Owners Action League hat today. So, Spain overall, second hardest hit country in terms of positive tests behind the U.S., about 220,000. 22,000 deaths out of that. So Spain, pretty hard hit too. Are people I think here in the States, there's a sense, you know, we have almost a million cases, and although 50,000 people have died, the numbers seem tremendously lower than what we were originally thinking when we went into this lockdown mode. Are people feeling like they are scared for themselves, or do you think that they are scared for other people at this point? What's the tone of that?
I think here there's a more sense of community than there is maybe in the States, where everyone's kind of out for their own and, you know, does things on their own time and, you know, screw everybody else. If I get sick, I get sick. Here it's like, you know, if you actually do step outside and if you don't get stopped by the police, you'll hear people yelling at you from the balcony to go home. And I think it's more of a sense of community here. Like, you need to stay inside to save everybody else, not just yourself. And I think part of that is because there is so many older people here. You know, that's why Italy got hit so hard, is because there is such an old community there, and the people that haven't left, you know, the young kids go out and explore the world, and it's just the older community that are still in these old countries. And I think people are trying to protect that. And because most of the people that have passed away here and in Italy have been that older community, it really is, you know, don't be selfish, you know, think about everybody else. And you kind of really feel that here. You know, even if you do go to the grocery store, there's a police officer at the entrance that makes you sanitize your hands, give you gloves, and give you a mask to walk through the store. And you can only go in, you know, one by one. And it's really, yeah, I mean, it is scary, but honestly, they're not letting you do your own thing here. They're actually forcing you to think of everybody else as a bigger problem.
Yeah, I have two questions here on the state there. One is economy. You know, what is the economy like right now in Spain? You know, businesses obviously must be pretty shuttered. And two, what's the temperature of mental health? I think, you know, one thing kind of gets pushed to the wayside in all this is the mental health of being cooped up, of being in your house, locked in your house, you know, lack of control, lack of know what's going to happen. So kind of a two-part question there. What's the economy like, and what's the status of the mental health that you're seeing around you?
Yeah, I mean, the economy, as far as I can see, so I'm in real estate. I am a real estate agent here, and we're still getting listings, and I'm still getting people contacting me for, you know, hey, I need to find a rental, but you can't move at this time. They're not letting you. So there's so many people that are, you know, stuck in certain situations, and the stores have been closed even before our March 14th date. I think the stores closed 3 or 4 days before that. So, you know, things have been shut down here, and the economy here is really, at least in Barcelona, is based on tourism. Like, I think the number is 35% of the revenue that we get here in Barcelona is through tourism. And, you know, we've got more hotels and more bars in this city than we do anywhere else in Spain. And that's all completely affected, you know, all the bars, all the clubs, you know, all the stores, you know, big box stores like, you know, H&M and Zara, everybody's shut down, and everybody's worried that they're not going to recover from this. And they're not.
So how does that spur into the mental health? How does that spur how people feel about themselves, about their futures?
I mean, unfortunately, I really haven't been able to talk to anybody here. But I do have a few, yeah, right. I can't, you know, talk to anybody, but, you know, I do have a couple friends here from the U.S. and everybody is really like, I mean, I know I'm getting upset because I'm an active person. I like to exercise and I can't even go for a run right now. I don't have, you know, any way to do anything really other than, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, you know, it's getting tough. And, you know, a lot of people in our building have kids, and we're starting to hear the screams of children, you know what I mean? And it's not in a good way. And there are some instances where people, you know, are playing music and, you know, trying to be lively outside on their balconies. You know, you do have people going out there with pianos and guitars sometimes and trying to sing together and bring the morale up. But ultimately, from what I can see, just like seeing my neighbors out, you know, our windows when they're in the sun, it's not good. And every time it gets pushed back, you know, we've been pushed back every 2 weeks to keep it getting extended. You know, I hear the cries of people and, you know, obviously online and everything like that. Everybody is so upset. And they're not letting children outside. So as of right now, only adults have been able to go to the grocery store or to the pharmacies, and they don't allow children out. So these people that have, you know, children under 16 years old, because 16-year-olds can go out, but anyone with children under 16 have literally had their kids inside with them this entire time, and we're almost at 2 months. So you're starting to see people petition for at least letting children out for a lot of times during the day. And
it's sunshine. They need to get outside.
And they're at virtually risk.
I mean, every apartment in our building is the same size, and we're at about almost 1,000 square feet. I mean, I think there's people above us that have 2 or 3 kids, and they're young kids, and we hear them, like, screaming. I cannot imagine how hard that is.
If you have a single parent, how do they go to the pharmacy or go to the market?
Honestly,
she doesn't work for the government. How does she know?
I don't know. I have
friends. People like to talk to her.
Nobody likes to talk to her but us.
Nobody likes to talk right now. No, but to be honest, I think, so out of almost 2 months, I've been to the grocery store maybe 3 or 4 times, and I've been out for work purposes twice. So that's really what, like 5 or 6 times I've been out in 2 months. I haven't seen a child with an adult at the grocery store or like on the streets. I haven't seen a single child. Last time I was at the grocery store a couple of days ago, I did see someone that looked like a foreigner, so maybe like a German. And she had a bunch of suitcases and she had 2 children with her, and she got stopped by the police and they were yelling at her, and she was obviously not speaking Spanish. So I don't know if maybe she was like locked out of a hotel or Airbnb or something, but seen any children. So I have no idea what they do. Maybe just, you know, lock their kid up in a car or something.
I think they're gonna look back at this as being such an unenlightened period. I really think this is gonna go down in history as such a disaster.
Will definitely be studied in schools, and our children will learn all about this, and they'll do reports on it and interview us and say, "Daddy, what was it like during the quarantine?"
Yeah.
And I'll say, listen to your sister talk about it.
Did you get a low number grocery pass, Daddy? Did you get a low number on your get out of jail card?
The problem is, too, there's a lot of students, too, that can't go to university and don't have jobs because they're in school. Like, what about those? Like, there's just so many unfortunate circumstances. And then you look at Italy, too. I mean, they already have a low economy, you know, not so much money circulating, and then you've got a lot of, you know, the poor communities, and it's really bad there too.
Well, that's
so,
a big, I mean, the GDP of Spain, which is slightly smaller than Italy, both have a smaller GDP than the state of California. I mean, that, you know, they're even smaller than France, if you can believe that.
Yeah, no, I believe it. There's a lot of poor communities. But I mean, I'm thankful that, you know, it's hard. I can't really work right now. The real estate market is kind of on hold, but I'm lucky that my boyfriend has a secure job. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, if he and I were both bartenders, what the hell would we do? So,
right.
Terrible.
Oh, thank you so much for telling us all about that, Catherine. That's heartbreaking and incredible.
But
yeah, keep in touch. We were going to offer to come over there and extricate you and rescue you back here to the land of freedom.
Huh, sounds like she's happy though.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to be able to go outside and go running, but there's so many people that are disobeying the social distancing and the mask. I mean, obviously, I knew Barry, you said you weren't going to wear a mask, but that's fine. I haven't worn a mask either. I know, and I haven't worn a mask either, but being out in crowds of, you know, 100 people protesting, I mean, one person goes with corona and everybody's sick and brings back home. And like, it just sounds way too unsure and scary. I'd rather kind of be locked up at this point.
Barry, what's the worst that can happen? You get coronavirus and you get very, 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 very sick, and you potentially infect other people, all because you won't wear a mask. Do you find that there is a point where you're like, well, what's the harm in me wearing a mask versus the monumental harm I can cause other people for not wearing a mask?
It's his body, his choice. No, I'm
kidding. Well, there you go.
I have to deal with him in my society.
She got it. It's at the end of the day, we're gonna learn some things. New York just did a big study. They found that, you know, in New York City, they think about 20% to 30% of the population has already had and resolved this virus. We're gonna find out.
Mm-hmm.
This is my prediction, and we have a global health expert coming up later in the show who can tell me what an idiot I am. But I'm telling you, we're gonna find out that a huge number of people have had this. That it is not particularly dangerous, and they, you know, Italy's health minister released statistics that show you 98 to 99% of people who died from this had one or more pre-existing conditions that led them to have a bad course with this virus. Most people will get this and resolve it, unlike the tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions, of people who have been cast into economic despair around the world. They're not going to recover. People are going to get the virus and recover. This is all about politics.
So, hey, just to jump in real quick, we can look at some stats. Spain, population of 46 million people, has an infection rate of about 5%, with 219,000 cases confirmed. Problem with Spain is they're at about a 10% mortality with 22,000 deaths. So, it seems like the managing of the infection is a bigger problem than the amount of people infected in Spain right now. Just to give it some context.
The problem is there's a lot of public health because the healthcare is free. So there's a lot of public hospitals that can't really take on, and there's fewer people here that have the private healthcare. And most of the people use, you know, the free healthcare systems, which are obviously not going to be as nice or suitable for a large number of people.
It almost sounds like you get what you pay for.
Yeah, that's true. No, honestly, I mean, they do have good health care here. Like, you know, you are well taken care of, but I don't think they were actually physically able to hold as many people, you know, as got sick in the first wave of things. So,
I mean, Spain's death rate is so much higher than the U.S. I think that's worth pointing out.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got a couple of things that work against them. I mean, the age of the population is one thing.
Yeah,
but when you talk about GDP and you talk about the economy, you know, our ability to scale up, although we didn't need it, the comfort, the USHS, whatever, comfort ship that was in New York, you know, we were able to dispatch hospital ships, build field hospitals and convention centers, mobilize the military. We had a huge capacity. We ultimately, it looks like, haven't needed it, but I think other countries don't have that kind of resource that they can just tap.
Right, and we have a big cruise ship port here, and they had a cruise ship that was docked, you know, maybe over a month ago, and they just let the people off the cruise ship a few days ago because they didn't have the ability to take in all those people that were sick from the cruise ship. So imagine being stuck on this big ship with no medical, you know, attention at all. And, you know, a third of the people had corona. And
is the bar still open?
Barcelona was like, I mean, maybe. But they wouldn't even let the people come off the ship. And, you know, they're all foreigners. They're not people that live here, so.
If you got the unlimited drink package on that cruise, you're killing it. I mean, you are killing it.
It's my dream. No, but
all
my
right, Catherine.
Your barrier. Wait, I do have a question. My
okay.
question for you, though. I'm taking a deep breath. But you're saying that this is all politics and economics and stuff. What should have the response been to everything? Rather than shutting it down, what should everybody have done?
I like Catherine. This is good. Could she join us more often?
Well, look, I here's the kind of the opposite reality is at the end of February, beginning of March, I thought that it was insane, the idea that the U.S. would be where it is now. But we got into a situation where the government started to believe information from groups that I think were engaged in advocacy that said that we were going to have hundreds of millions of infections and millions of deaths from this virus. So at that point, we're all in, right? Even I said we can't have 2.5 million people drop dead in the next 2 months. We have to do this. Whatever the damage is, we have to do this. But now we're in a situation 6 weeks later where we understand, particularly in the U.S., that we have the capacity to manage these infections. I think you're going to find that between a third and half of the people who die in this country are going to be in nursing homes and skilled nursing facilities. We know exactly who is really susceptible to a bad course with this virus. So instead of spending $4 trillion to $6 trillion to keep everybody locked up at home, we could send healthy people back to work and spend that money to protect the people who really need protection. I think we need to pivot on the strategy now that we understand what the scale of it is.
Okay. I mean, that I sounds keep reasonable. On this topic forever, but okay.
we'll hear from an expert, Barry. So throw your theory out to her, and we'll see what. Hopefully,
yeah. In about 10 minutes, I'm gonna get shredded. So stay tuned, because I'm about to get. But it won't matter because I'm a redneck and I don't care. I just think what I think. But
exactly.
I'm gonna get torpedoed in about 10 minutes.
Hopefully, I look forward to hearing this.
That's not nice.
I'm just kidding.
All right, Catherine. All right, guys. Well, listen, keep in touch.
Yeah, thank you so much, Catherine.
Be safe over there, okay?
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, bye. Be safe over there. Boy. So she wants to be out in Spain, I guess. It's good. I mean, it's good if you're happy where you are. I would be trying to jump the last helicopter out of there.
You're swimming across.
Just to go over the numbers again, population Spain, 46 million. Population in the U.S., 333 million. Infections in Spain, 220,000. Infections in the U.S., 900,000. Deaths in Spain, 22,000. Deaths in the U.S., 51,000. So Spain's in a tough spot. Much smaller population, so their numbers look a little lower, but they're struggling.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to hear Biden talk so favorably about European healthcare for a while. I don't think you're going to hear that trumpet being blown.
Where is Biden, by the way? Has anybody heard from him lately?
I believe he's eating pudding in the home.
Oh. Okay.
Not to get political, but it's fun. But this is a serious question. How are these guys going to run it? How are they going to run a campaign like this?
Well, yeah, exactly. Right. During this whole thing, I mean, it's going to be a lot of TV ads, but, you know, I mean... You got to let people vote too. If we're shut down till what, November? You think? You can think riots are going to happen if they shut us down till November, make us miss the meeting, or I'm sorry, make us miss the summer. You think they're going to?
One of the things that I was talking to somebody up in the Lakes region, New Hampshire, yesterday, and one of the things about the U.S. is that our summer economically is so important to so many areas. Like if you take away the summer from upstate New York, the Lakes region, New York, New Hampshire, Upper Peninsula, Michigan. You take away the summer from those people, you are going to ruin them. There's not another summer that's going to make up for it. You're going to put people on the breadline. I mean, that's a real consequence. This has to be over by Memorial Day, or people are not going to survive.
Cam, on the election topic, Cuomo in New York is mailing absentee ballots to everyone in the state.
Wow. Every dead Democrat gets two.
That's New York. Doesn't matter anyway, but.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And I don't have a problem with the absentee thing. I voted absentee because I'm, it's fine. What I don't want to get is where people are like voting by TikTok or something like that, which I feel like is the next logical extension of this.
Well, my very important assistant has also notified me that Cuomo has added fear of coronavirus as a reason to be able to vote absentee. So,
well, it's also a reason to stay home and get your extra $600 a week. So, I mean,
sure.
So let me ask you a question about that. A lot of people were upset when Lindsey Graham sort of criticized this $600. You get your unemployment as you normally would if you got laid off. But then the feds pumped another $600 a week on top of that. So if you were going to get $400 in unemployment, now you get $1,000. And people said, well, that's, mean-spirited to challenge that. People need the help right now. But the reality is now people are not going to be too excited about going back to work and taking a $600 a week pay cut, right?
Well, the problem with the unemployment system, and by the way, I am collecting unemployment right now. I was laid off, so just talking on both sides of my mouth here. But, I took – for me, New York's unemployment is about a 65%.
This job doesn't pay you enough. You can't get by on this job doing the daily
show. You guys getting paid?
Yeah, we're getting paid.
Well, yeah.
What? Nobody tells me anything. But so that extra $600 for me was pretty big because that got me closer to, what my actual paycheck is. So for me, I was pleased with the $600 because it gets me, within striking distance of what I was making prior to this. And the reality is for a lot of, cooks, waitresses, waiters, in the restaurant industry, you know, they are. They're making good money right now. And the people that I talk to, I hope, understand and are aware that they should be banking this money. And this is the time to get ahead on bills, get some savings in the bank, and, you know, be excited to go back to work and interact with people. I will say that, you know, a lot of people I've talked to want to get back to work, regardless of the $600. You know, maybe it'll be a little different when they actually get that first check, but they want to get back inside. They want to get back to it.
Yeah. I can't imagine that there people aren't just so sick of this at this point, right? I mean, this is just isn't who we are as people. This is not what we do.
Well,
we don't,
our society is not built this way. Dan, do you go outside with a mask?
So I keep one on me. And I only wear it when there's like a very obvious, you must, the CVS around the corner has a sign, you must wear a mask. Then I'll put it on. Otherwise, no, I don't.
So, Barry, are you not doing that? So you don't go to any place that's requiring you to wear a mask?
I've gone to one place where I knew it was a requirement and I agreed to it because I went there. But I make that agreement, right? That's fine. I mean, depending on the circumstance, the grocery store that I like to go to says that they advise people to wear masks. I'm not doing it. I mean, I'll go shop someplace else.
The problem you're into, though, is many places, there's not going to be a lot of options left, you know?
Right.
They're all doing it.
How do you guys
feel
about...
Well, so what are they going to do? Are they going to arrest me? They're going to fine me? I mean, Harris County,
well,
Texas,
they're
they said they're going
to
hit
building.
Them.
Why you got to make some guy making $20 an hour pull you out of a freaking CVS because you won't put a mask on?
How do you feel about GameStop opening back up? You think that's an essential business?
Yeah, for the people who work at GameStop, it's pretty damn essential, isn't it?
Of course, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, not that this hasn't. I would imagine that this has changed their business model because you can just go on the Xbox Live or whatever and get the game.
Oh,
you don't need
the
GameStop.
They're done. They've been done for the last couple of years, but this is going to be the final nail.
And
a lot of businesses
you guys,
are going to collapse.
Very important question that's near and dear to us. We've got about 3 minutes until our guest should be on the hotline. We're talking about Vegas looking at maybe a June 1st kind of soft opening for the Strip with some guidelines in place to sort of keep the social distancing and sanitization, all that stuff. If Vegas opens on June 1st, Dan, are you going?
My would love it.
Okay. He's done.
I think he
jumped out the window.
Cam, if Vegas opens on June 1st, are you going?
My wife will kill me if I
set aside that. I'm just saying, in reality, if you were a single guy and the JetBlue flight's like $50 and you get a hotel room at Caesars for $20, you're going to get free stuff galore.
I'm there.
Would you go?
100%. Absolutely.
I'm going.
But I'll wear a mask.
How are you going to eat at the buffet with your mask?
Oh, my goodness. Dan, are you okay?
How are you going to smoke a big stogie with your mask on?
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I think I'll just stay in the pool the whole time, right? Doesn't chlorine kill the coronavirus? Can't you just stay in the pool? The jets? Just stay in that hot tub?
I ingest it.
Yeah, ingest
it. My favorite flavor of Lysol is the bouquet, the floral Lysol. That's the kind I like to eat.
I like the fresh laundered. That's my favorite.
But I keep having this sort of recurring discussion with people where they say, hey, you can reopen anything you want, but people are going to be too scared to go. My answer is always then just reopen it and let's see. Because I think as soon as you say the bar on the corner is open, there's going to be somebody's going to be playing some music down at this place and you can standing room 6 feet. People are going. I'm going to go. I'm not scared to go to. I would love if I didn't think that I would get shot in my house, I'd go to Vegas June 1st. No problem.
What I want
more. Some of these places is we're looking at increased costs, right? Cam, you're killing me.
I can't.
We're looking at increased costs, and we're looking at lower income. You can't hear me at all?
I mean, every other word.
It's dicey.
It's all right. It's dicey, my friend. I apologize. More importantly, Dan, not to trump you, more importantly, instead of Vegas, I want to go to a baseball game. That's what I want to do. I want to see baseball. I want to watch it on the TVs. If I'm stuck in here, at least show me baseball in an empty stadium. I don't give a crap. Like, let's, you know, you're hurting, you know, all sorts of issues for me personally by not letting baseball play. And that's all I really care about. Oh, there goes Dan.
There goes Dan. Yeah. Same thing applies. If there's a baseball game to go to, why would I not go? I mean, what do people think that stepping outside their house? This seems to be almost a prevailing thing. Like, we can't go outside. Like, this isn't something that is a airborne anthrax that's going to, you know, I mean, don't try to wash your hands. The number one thing, wash your hands before you touch your face. If you do that, you'll be fine. Don't play with your face. I've been playing with my face the whole show, but I wash my hands.
Yeah, I hear you. Dan, let's try your connection again. Do you miss baseball?
Can you hear me now? Yeah.
I'm done. Don't ask any questions.
This is so much better if you have the video. You want to drop off the house party? Do you think that's sucking up your bandwidth?
Maybe. I don't know. I'll go close this.
Oh, God. He already sounds
terrible. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Wow. You really had something going on over there.
So we get ice cream. How's that?
This is hard doing these shows remotely. It's really hard.
All right, go ahead. Yeah, make your point.
What are we talking
real
about?
Real quick here, because we got to go out. Oh my goodness! All right, that's it. We are Daily Shot Media is live here. It's Daily Shot Talks. It's Barry. It's Cam. It's Dan, and we got to go out. We got to go out to the hotline because on the hotline we have a global health advocate. She's also the host of a reality TV podcast called Is This Real Life, which is better than this show, I would guess.
Cool.
But she's a global health advocate, smart cookie, great follow on Twitter. My good friend, Mandy Slutsker. Mandy, are you on the line there?
I think I am.
Oh,
you are.
Hey,
we hear you. Yeah.
Yes. Technology
wins today. Yeah, well, it's kept us all going, I guess, right?
Right.
No, you sound fabulous. Right. Dan, take notes.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, Dan is on a, I think he's on a can of cream corn that he emptied out with a string that's connected to the cable company. So Mandy, we got about 15 minutes. First of all, you told me you got some cool stuff going on. Tell me a little about you and what you have going on in the middle of all this.
So I work in global health for a medical organization who I will not name because I have not gotten approval to speak.
Oh, so fine, totally fine.
I've worked in global health for about 13 years. I started at the NIH for about 3 years working in actually with biocontainment for laboratories. This is an interesting job out of college. And then lived in Bangladesh for a little bit.
Wow.
Got my master's in public health, focusing on epidemiology, specifically infectious disease epidemiology. And then have been working on doing like mainly advocacy with the U.S. government and other governments to get them to invest more resources in health for the last probably decade or so. So this has been a very interesting time. Because a lot of us had been worried about something like this happening, I would say maybe 12 years ago, 13 years ago, people really started talking about what if there's a new novel influenza, you know, similar to the swine flu. And then when H1N1 happened and it wasn't as severe as was, you know, would have been predicted, I think a lot of people, I know, got comfortable and we're like, okay,
sure.
We had our 1-in-100-year thing happen. And
right.
I always was like, I don't know. I feel like that wasn't it. That wasn't the one, you know? So I feel like it caught us slightly unprepared because just like insurance, you never really want to use it. And investing in health is something that I think a lot of people, especially in like a public health system and global health, is something that's just not a priority for most politicians because it's not something they can brag about to voters.
Is it a lot of people putting their head in the sand and sort of ignoring it, maybe it never happens?
Yeah, I mean, I think like everyone, I mean, this is something you hear about. One of the other things that keeps me up at night besides a massive pandemic is antibiotic resistance. Like at some point, antibiotics are going to stop working.
Right.
And I don't think people are paying attention to that either. And you hear about articles here and, you know, a 60 Minutes thing here and there, but until it really impacts your life, people don't pay a lot of attention, whether that is just your average day American or a policymaker.
Maybe I'm going to go down a rabbit hole here real quick. Why do you think there's this every 100-year pandemic? You know, what is the trend that causes this, like, almost clockwork pandemic to hit the world?
I mean, I'm not entirely sure what causes it. It's this kind of a thing is more of a 1 in 100 year. I think there's a lot of other types of pandemics that have happened that have been stopped from becoming pandemics. I think the reason this one wasn't is because it's respiratory. So it's really, really hard to stop and because there's so many asymptomatic carriers. But yeah, I don't really know exactly what causes it. I think there's going to be more in the future, particularly because of people now live in closer contact with animals than they used to, especially with like growing populations. People are starting to live in areas that used to be only wildlife. And now people are just in closer contact, and so there's more zoonotic diseases, like transmission between humans and animals.
You don't see that, you don't think that every 100-year kind of coincidence, is, or you think it is just a coincidence. You don't think there's any fact-based that 1920, 1820, 2020, we're seeing a consistent trend?
Not really, no.
You are the expert.
Let me ask you a question.
I'm not a total expert. I just I'm not sure why it happened.
Well, you're smarter
times,
than we are.
Not at others.
So.
Yeah, you're certainly smarter than we are.
Okay. Let me ask you this. In terms of just because our time is short, I want to sort of get some focus out of you in terms of like where do you think we're headed in the next sort of 8 to 12 weeks.
I wish I knew. I feel like I know where I think we should be headed, but unfortunately, I don't know if we're headed there. Where I think we should be headed is focusing on increasing testing, specifically to know who has the illness. And then I know the FDA is working really hard to get antibody testing, but right now, I don't think there's anything on the market that is accurate enough to be able to let people know whether or not they've been sickened with COVID before. So I think the thing that really needs to focus is on investing in testing and contact tracing, and that will help us move forward. I thought that the sort of lockdown situation was just to buy us time, not to be forever. And I feel like we haven't, unfortunately, used that time to do everything possible to get the PPE needed to both first responders and to businesses that will eventually reopen, and also to get all of the testing and contact tracing. We need an army of contact tracers. I mean, that's how most infectious diseases in the U.S. are kind of kept under control, is because you don't hear about them as much. I, unfortunately, was sickened when traveling in South Africa and came back and tested positive for Campylobacter, which is a mandatory reportable illness. And because my laboratory test was positive, I was tracked by the D.C. Department of Health for like 2 months. Making sure I wasn't going to public pools, that I didn't work with children, that I wasn't working in the food industry. And, of course, my infection had cleared up by that point. And, you know, but that's an example of the fact that we do have people that do this work. We just need a lot more of them.
So, you know, I mean, obviously, you know where I'm coming from. I think that this has a shelf life of a few more weeks, tops, and then we're going to have to start to let people out. You think
yeah.
there's going to be a disaster when that happens?
Yeah, tell Barry he's an
idiot. I mean, unfortunately, I just don't think we have what we should have been doing for the last 5 weeks or 6 weeks or so, which is really ramping up testing, figuring out a national strategy. So, like, do we not have enough reagents? Do we not have enough nasal swabs? Who's producing what? Can we use the Defense Production Act to force companies to start producing things that are needed? You know, where are there shortages? Where are there, you know, overabundance of materials? How can we get them to where they're needed? And then, you know, ramping up the ability to get funding to make sure that we can hire people to do contact tracing. And I feel like that's how you get your way out of this, because had we had better surveillance in the beginning, this would not have lasted so long. We would have figured out who was sick. We would have isolated them. We would have figured out who all their contacts were, but that just couldn't happen quick enough. We also didn't know how infectious this was.
So Manny, New York here at Cuomo has already started antibody testing in the state of New York on a very small scale. And how big does that need to get to before you feel confident taking the opening the valve, if you will, as Cuomo would say? How many people have to have antibody tests? What percent of the population do we have to get to feel safe?
I'm not entirely sure what would target herd immunity. I mean, I'm guessing like at least 50% or more in order to get it to be. I mean, so most herd immunity for vaccines is around 95%. So when you start to drop below that for measles, you see kids starting to get measles. You know, there was a measles outbreak a few years ago in Disneyland. And so I'm not sure. If more than half the people have antibodies, the chance of it like continuing to spread so fast would go down. But I just don't know the exact amount.
Can I ask, is that movie Contagion accurate? Should we all be afraid? Could that happen? Have you seen that movie? Has everybody seen that movie with Matt Damon?
Yes, that actually is probably the only accurate movie about a pandemic that exists.
Yeah, not the movie Outbreak. That's garbage. The Contagion is that. That's
that
a good movie. And everybody should watch that in the sense of, like, this could happen at some point, right?
Yeah, I remember watching it, and I knew some of the people who were experts to advise on the movie. And there was only one thing I saw that was inaccurate, which is there was a scene, and I think I've only seen this movie once, but there was a scene in which someone went into a laboratory by themselves. And that's actually not allowed
in the
BSL-4 labs.
Oh, right,
the
guy in San Francisco. Right, the San Francisco guy goes and does whatever he
does. Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
what's interesting about that film
himself,
is that it's a coronavirus, too, right? It's a novel coronavirus in that film as well. Also coming from a bat and a pig virus. Is this sort of...
Not
to put you on the spot. You're not a film critic. I'm just
I think it's pretty accurate. And then what's funny is, so my colleagues that used to do like all this lab stuff, we used to watch Outbreak once a year together and play a drinking game where we would drink whenever something was inaccurate, and we would like state like where, like which specific like biosafety manual, like, and it was like this whole thing, like drink, and then it was like, you know,
drink,
number 10, page like 29.
It's like you got to drink every time during a task force update that somebody's called a third rate reporter. It's like that.
Yep.
We got about a minute left for this. Go ahead.
Minute left. Tell Barry that he needs to wear a mask every time he goes outside.
I mean, if everyone were to wear a mask, it would help the spread because we just don't know who's sick and who's not. And so it just makes it so that like your particles don't get out there to other people.
Yeah, I don't want your
particles
around. I don't want your particles
anywhere near me. My particles are fine. My particles are not the problem.
Maybe real quick here. What's the is there a worry about false sense of security from wearing a mask?
Yeah, I mean that's I think why they didn't want people to wear them in the first place, both for a false sense of security and that people would. And that people would hoard the masks that are needed, the N95s that are needed for the healthcare workforce, more so than, you know, just your general person going to walk their dog. So, you shouldn't have a false sense of security. You can still get sick from wearing a mask. I view it more as, like, helping others and not infecting others than it is about protecting yourself.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Hey, Mandy, we're coming up on the end of this. So just real quick, where can people find you if they're interested in your podcast and your insights on Twitter?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Mandy Slutsker. That's Slutsker. And my podcast can be found anywhere that you can listen to podcasts, especially Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and all those places. And that's Is This Real Life with Mandy Slutsker. If you are a fan of The Real Housewives or basically any Bravo shows, you should definitely follow me.
Oh, that's our wheelhouse.
That. I'm telling you, if you go back and watch this week's Real Housewives of New York, I guarantee you, you will enjoy it. Guarantee. I'd be willing to bet money.
It does.
Hey, Mandy.
The pool and are hilarious.
All right. Hey, listen, thank you. I hope we can do this again. I appreciate the perspective. Awesome
yeah,
to
definitely.
Talk to you. All right, cool. You be well. We are coming up on about 20 seconds left in the show. Dan, final thought real quick. You got a quick hit?
No, that's good. I think there's a lot of good information out there. Catherine was great. Mandy was great. You know, I think we just got to keep moving forward and hopefully get back to the sports world.
At Daily Shot Talks on the Twitter. Cam, go.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Everybody stay safe. Yep, I wish I could leave my house. Oh, yeah.